This kind of starts with just some simple thoughts that had come to me I'd like to talk to you about a little bit. And I'd like to ask you, what do you find to be the most challenging thing in being a Christian? What is the most, not the hardest, not the, but the most challenging thing about being a Christian? Kind of should probably do it every single day. Personal devotions, right? Perseus, you had your hand up. Is that what you were going to say?
Reading
and praying. Excellent. Now I remember being when I was a kid, we have a set of Uncle Arthur's books that my mother read to us. And in one of those, a little girl was doing a Bible study, and she had this really beautiful little box, and she called it her jewel box. And so what she did was she went through the Bible, and if a scripture started with an E, she decided that was an emerald, and she wrote the scripture out, and she put E for emerald, and she put it in her little box, and if it started with D, delight thyself in the Lord, she'd write it out, and it would be a diamond, and so forth and so on. And I remember doing that as a child, and I had somebody later tell me, that's not the right way to study the Bible. Okay, but I was writing scriptures down. And young people, when I'm going to bring some ideas tonight, but it may not be exactly the way you study your Bible, read your Bible, do your daily devotions, but that's okay. I just want you to get into the Word. I want you to get in there, and I want you to be challenged. So I wanted to start with Acts chapter 8. And let's just look at a couple of scriptures. Kind of my title of my lesson will be found here. So if you want to turn to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26 is where we're going to start. Can I have an agreement from you that daily devotions is probably the most challenging thing we do? It's not the hard thing. It's not the don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal here and there. It's consistent every single day doing the right thing. So I think that's what makes it the most challenging. So if we look here in Acts chapter 8 and verse, well, I'm in 26, so that's not going to help me any. Got to be in the right book. I mean the Bible and then the right book. So yes. All right. So basically this story in verses 26 through 31 is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so we have this story of this Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading his Bible, or he's reading actually from the book of Isaiah. He's been up to Jerusalem, so maybe that's where he got his copy of this book, and he's headed back home, and he's reading it, and so we see here that the Spirit of God knows that he's going to need some help, and so he sends Philip to him. And look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Okay, so E there is that's a New Testament spelling for Isaiah. And he says, understandest thou what thou readest? It's kind of my title. Do you understand what you're reading? And I think we all can say, Sister Sherry, there have been some days I don't have a clue. What does that mean? How is that supposed to help me? And it's written in the these and thous and some of the words here, I'm struggling. And so we see here that God knew that the Ethiopian eunuch was struggling. And so he sends Philip and he says, do you understand? So this is what I want to talk to you about, personal devotions. Now, how do you do your personal devotions? And anybody just want to throw it out? How do you do them? There we go. Then he said unto me, I mean, that's how you do it. Anybody throw it out there? Anybody in here have an app that you're following with a daily reading? Okay, perfect, awesome. Does anybody take your Sunday school lesson home? The youth lessons, we have daily readings on there. Has anybody ever done that one? Or the quarterly, you could follow the daily readings in the quarterly. So some of you are saying yes. Has anybody started in Genesis 1 and 1 and decided to read the whole book of the Bible through in a year? I tried it, I did not like it. You know how fast you have to read books and Lamentations to get through it in a year? I was not retaining. But some people do really well on a reading plan. I'm going to get through it in 1 year, 2 years. There's a whole bunch of different ways. Some people might read the trumpeter. There might be all kinds of different ways that you can do your personal Bible study. But again, do you have trouble understanding it? I think we have established that, yes, there's a lot of verses in this Bible that I have trouble understanding. And I'm sure you do too. Sometimes when Brother Decker's up there preaching, I'm like, dear Lord, please open my understanding. I am not getting it. That happens to all of us. And so human nature wants to do what? try again tomorrow. I mean, that's how I feel sometimes. So you probably do too. So does not understanding make it difficult to be consistent? If Monday I didn't understand and Tuesday I didn't understand and Wednesday I didn't understand, how excited am I to open my Bible on Thursday? Yes, it is hard. It's difficult. So hopefully I want to talk a few things, and maybe on a regular basis, I think it'd be good just to kind of stop some of the things I bring. You might be, oh, Sister Sherry, I've heard this 75 times, but if you're 13, maybe you've never heard it. So maybe it'll help you. Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. So how to make devotions more understandable, interesting, and enjoyable. Number one, start with prayer. Now, I don't always do this. I typically go to my Bible first. But I'm not talking about your long prayer where you pray for everybody in your prayer list and you pray for help. And I'm talking about maybe just a short prayer before you open your Bible, before you open your app. It says, Lord, help my understanding today. Show me what to read and help me to think about it later on. All right, so let's start with prayer, first thing. Second thing, let's look at context. Brother Jerry brought some really great thoughts a few Wednesday nights ago. Does anybody remember what scripture he talked about? Super common. You always hear it at graduation time. It's found in Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. We read that. Thank you, Lord. You're going to work my problems out. That special someone, you're going to show it to me, who he is, who she is. I've been waiting. And Brother Jeremy talked about context. He talked about how in verse 1, this was a letter to the Israelite people in Jewish captivity. He talked about in verse 10, after 70 years, I'm going to cause you to return. Now, I don't know about you, but if I read that scripture and I'm all excited that God's finally going to bring me guidance on the problems, and then the next part says in 70 years you get your answer, I am not encouraged. Context. And then you think, why so long, Lord? Do you just not like me anymore? What's 70 years before you're finally going to answer our cry for us to go home to Jerusalem? And God says in verses 12 through 13, by the way, here's the reason why I'm taking so long. You're a stubborn, rebellious people, basically, was what he was saying. And he says, then shall ye call on me and seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And as Brother Jeremy was bringing that, and I thought if that was a scripture that you were using for your Bible devotions, these are things that you want to look context. What happened before the verse? What happened after the verse? And now, takeaway. How does this apply to me? Well, God has a purpose for long, hard trials. God is working for something. Rebellion can lengthen our trials. Oh, there's a great lesson. Write that one down. In red ink. Let's not be rebellious. Let's be submissive. Maybe that 70 years can be shortened. All right? God has not forgotten his people. And God wants us to seek him with all our heart. All right? So two things. We're going to start with prayer. Look at context. If you're just going to do one scripture, what book is it in? Let's look at the context. What was above it? What was below it? Define words. Anybody in here ever done verse mapping? So verse mapping is kind of like you write your scripture out on a piece of paper and you're like, draw a line. Oh, that he is referring to John the Baptist. And this word, I don't know what it means. So I look it up and you draw a line and you put out here maybe the little definition. So basically you're kind of taking it apart. You're kind of looking at each part of it, individual words, to see what it actually means. You might use a concordance or a cross-reference. For instance, you might think, you know, is there a phrase in here that maybe I've heard somewhere else in the Bible that would maybe help me understand? So in John chapter 21 and verse 17, Jesus, he's actually raised from the dead and he's talking to Peter and he says unto him, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I don't know about you, but if my husband asked me if I loved him three times and every single time I said yes, I begin to wonder what's up. Now, the Bible doesn't just have things in there because it needs to fill in space. Three times must mean something. Peter was grieved because he said unto him, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, if that was the verse of the day or the verse of the week, because I'll talk about it in a little bit. I like to take a verse and think about it all week long. Look up a few things here and there. Make myself some notes. Really meditate on it. Talk about it. Coolest thing this morning, Brother Steve's lesson, message, and Blue Ash was running the race. I did not know that. And so as we were going somewhere, I think it was yesterday, I said to him, you know, honey, my verse for the week that I've been thinking about and meditating on, it's over in Hebrews, and it talks about the race that is set before us. And that's just so cool because, and I went on to talk about my verse, and then as he preached this morning, he was able to use some of those thoughts that I had brought up. I'm like, that is so neat. Talk about what you're learning to other people. They can be great. They can get good things from it as well. So back to Peter. Why did Jesus ask Peter this question 3 times? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And as you're reading that, what about if you meditate and you think about another place, something happened between Peter and Jesus 3 times? What was it? I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Maybe Jesus was doing the 3 times. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Because he denied him 3 times. And if you love me, Peter, here's what you're going to do. You're going to feed my sheep. Oh, by the way, Peter, pastoring is going to take so much patience. And you're going to have people that are going to give you trouble, just kind of like you gave me trouble, Peter. And it'll be really helpful if you'll remember that you have failed sometimes. So when you become a pastor, you'll be more understanding and you'll be more loving and patient. Do you see how just taking a minute and meditating on that, lovest thou me 3 times? What would that mean? Crucifixion. Oh, and you begin to tie them together. Does that not make that scripture so much more meaningful when you think about it that way? And then you can do the takeaway. What does that mean to me? Begin to think about how does that apply to my life? All right, so we start with prayer. Context. Now we're talking about defining words or phrases. Then let's ask questions. So I got a difficult one here. Let's go for it. 1 Corinthians 14 and 34. If you'd like to turn there. Let's ask questions about our reading. So if this was your reading for the week, sisters, you might struggle a little bit. 1 Corinthians 14 and 34. Let your women keep silence in churches. Yikes. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. Double yikes. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Whew. Brother Steve says, sit down, Sister Sherry. I better be back up there. Sometimes we read scriptures that are like, what? That's in the Bible? Does that mean that all the sisters should be sitting down and being quiet? Kind of. That's what it looks like. So you ask questions. What does this mean? Well, first of all, who in the world wrote that? Well, who wrote Corinthians? Help me out. Who wrote this? Paul. The Apostle Paul. And who is he writing it to? People who live in Corinth. They are called the Corinthians. So there's a church of God in Corinth. Now, do you know how letters came about in the Bible? We have Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the Acts of the Apostles. And then we have all these letters, also called what? Starts with an E.
Epistles.
Very good. How did those come about? Paul just went, you know, better write some letters. Haven't written any letters for a while. Do you know how this came about? There would be problems in the church. There would be questions. So the church at Corinth had problems. They had questions, and they write to Paul. We have his answers. We don't have his questions. So that's the context of as far as who wrote it and who is it being written to. So we got to think about this. Who is the author and who is the audience? All right. So then we look at another scripture. Let me go. I didn't actually turn just yet. So chapter 14. Look right above it. See, he said, let your women keep silent. What made him say that? So you go to verse 33. God is not the author of confusion. Something was happening in that church, in those church services, that was causing confusion. Okay, that helps a little bit. So then you go up above it a little bit, like to verse 9, and you see they're speaking in an unknown tongue or another language. So say that they spoke English and people came in and were speaking Spanish. There was trouble with what? Understanding, hearing, right? So he's continuing to deal with confusion. So as you're looking through this chapter, Paul is talking about disorderly church services. Church services that don't have order. They're out of order. There's confusion going on. Okay? Then what we can do is we can look up the word speak. Does that mean that their mouth cannot open and words cannot come out? Is that what speak means? Or could it have a little different meaning? So you look it up, and it may be like a concordance, a Bible dictionary, or in your Bible app, if you have one. And you find out that speak means chatter and argue and question. That's shedding more light, isn't it? Okay. Then, if you happen to look up culture, in culture, you can find this in commentaries. So, especially you older ones, if you have Bible Hub is my favorite app for looking up Strong's concordance words, looking up commentaries. It's a great, great app. If you have a phone and you don't know how to use it, please see me and I'll be glad to help you. So look this up. In Jewish synagogues, the men and women sat apart. So if a woman was chattering or calling out to her husband or disagreeing with what was being said, he's not sitting beside her. Like in church, I would say, Brother Steve, what did he just say? I didn't understand it. Why would he say that? Oh, okay. Nobody in church is going to hear that except for maybe Whitney. But if Steve's sitting on the other side and I'm like, I don't get it, Steve. What is he saying? That's disorderly. I'm out of order. Not only that, but a woman should be what? In subjection. That doesn't seem like a very subjective woman here. It doesn't seem like she's in subjection. We got women from Gentile backgrounds coming into the church. All right? And they're going to be, there's going to be a culture difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. So they don't know how to conduct themselves in church meetings because they've not been in the Jewish synagogues before. They've not been a Christian before. So Paul is writing this letter to tell them, here's how to do things decently and in order. He goes on and he says, go home and ask your husbands your questions. Tell your husbands what you disagree about and ask them there. If you compare that scripture with other writings of Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 5, he talks about women that pray and prophesy. Prophesy means preach. So he'd be contradicting himself. If in one place he's saying, here's women praying and prophesying. Over here he's like, women, don't talk in church. Well, that would be hard to reconcile the two. So you see where going above the scripture and below the scripture, context, looking at who the book is written to, who's writing it. Now we begin to understand. Let your women keep silent in church. Do things in order. Don't be arguing with the preacher when he brings things you don't like. Can you imagine me standing up and telling Brother Decker I don't agree? That'd be completely out of order. No wonder he's saying let him keep silent or don't be chattering and arguing. Paul is saying there is a right way to do this. So sometimes you come across some scriptures that are a little hard and don't be afraid of them. And if you get stuck, God puts people in your life. Just like that eunuch was stuck. He didn't know what he was reading. How can I know unless some man explains it to me? When you get to that place, you've got pastors. You've got leaders. You've got Sunday school teachers. Maybe you've got godly parents. Go to them and say, I'm like this Ethiopian eunuch. I am lost. I have no idea what that means. And let them help you. Excuse me. So, let's give you a few ideas for personal devotions. I think about when I had to learn spelling words, and I don't know if this is how you do it anymore, but we had spelling tests. For me, the best way to learn it, do you want to guess? The best way to learn how to spell a word was what? But through what? Writing. Write it down, and write it down, and write it down, and write it down. Now, I don't know about all of you, but if anybody in here can do devotions without writing it down, that may be. I know me, I've got to write it down to retain it. Now perhaps your app, maybe typing it on a phone app, I don't know. I have a piece of paper. Usually every Monday morning, I open my notebook, tear that page out, pray about a scripture, and then just jot down thoughts all week long, maybe 2 weeks. I'm working on the race that is set before me. That's what I'm working on right now, meditating on that. What does that mean? Set. Oh, I don't get to pick my race. I don't get to pick my family. I don't get to pick all the things that come to me in life, my personality, the fact that I'm not skinny, the fact that I'm not beautiful, they get to pick that. So things I'm meditating on, and I'll read that scripture over and over. So consider writing it down. Write out the verse. Questions, observations, work on it a little bit at a time for several days. Like I said, read the verses before and after. Ask yourself the questions. Who, what, why, when, where? Look at that verse. Who is talking? Where is it taking place? What's going on? Who are the main characters? You might look it up in an Amplified Bible or a children's Bible. Those help me. Sometimes I'll think, oh, that's had some light on it. All right. So, and also you might even think about make some notes in your Bible for later reference. I don't know if you can see here. I've got some notes, especially Revelation chapter 21. So when Brother Decker goes there, I'm like, okay, I know I am going to be lost. I think it's 21. Let me see. No, chapter 20. So if you can see, I've got all kinds of notes. So the neat thing is the next time somebody preaches on this, it's in pencil, so you probably can't see very good. The next time somebody preaches on this, I'm over here in the margin going, oh, that's the gathering of the eighth beast. Oh, that's Gog and Magog, paganism. Oh, yeah. I remember now. You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. I know I am. That's what works for me. I think it's good, though, for us just to share. Here's some ideas. Here's how perhaps this might be something that you could try in your devotions. Because I think just about all of you either nodded your head or raised your hand. Yes, Sister Sherry, it is one of the most challenging parts of being a Christian. Because I need to do it every day. And it's not easy. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. So I want to work just one. I think it's just one scripture here. And then I want to do a song. Because we can do songs in our daily devotions as well. All right. So let's go Genesis 50 and 20. Super common verse. You probably could quote it by heart. So Genesis chapter 50. It's the first book in the Bible. I think you all know that. And since I'm in Exodus, that makes no sense. All right. Go to Genesis chapter 50. And I don't know about you, but there's just something about a paper Bible that it's much more exciting. So, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Let's pick it apart. But as for you, who's you? Joseph's brothers. All right. Ye thought evil against me. What was the evil against me? What was the evil? Selling him into slavery. Who is me? Okay, good. So we're picking it apart. But God meant it unto good. How was that going to be good? And then he became second in the command. You're exactly right. But what happened after that that was even more important than that? What did he save the country from? The rest of the scripture says that he did. God even placed to save Egypt and other nations from that famine. And so you see there where it says much people? That's what it's talking about. To save much people. It's to save the Egyptians. We got other people coming to this country that need food. Now, look in the middle. To bring to pass. Okay, that takes time. So you meant it for evil, you being the brothers, selling Joseph into slavery, but to bring it to pass. Was Joseph ready to go into that position second to Pharaoh the minute he arrived in Egypt? He most certainly was not. He had to go through things, bring it to pass. Go through Potiphar's house, go through being lied on, many years being, first of all, he was a very good steward. Learned how to be a good steward because he was gonna have to be a steward of Egypt. And then he has to deal with lies, and then he has to go to prison. Bring it to pass. Do you see how taking one verse, picking it apart, it gives you greater understanding? Let's do context. Let's go to the verse below it. Look what he did to his brothers. Comforted them, spake kindly to them. They have separated him and his father for years and years and years. Treated him awful. Sold him into slavery. Who does that to their own flesh and blood? Verse 19, he says, don't be afraid. Verse 17, he cries. He's overcome by seeing them. And so then we think about how, okay, so we kind of took that scripture apart. took maybe one word here and one word there. What do they mean? Now, what's the takeaway? What do we learn from that? Because that's what personal devotions are for. It's not reading history books. It's to get a lesson, to get something to strengthen us. It'd be one thing for me, excuse me, to come into the kitchen and sit down at the table and see this wonderful meal and look at it and, oh, the flour came from Kroger and that's wonderful and the recipe was over here and we put it together and then I get up and I leave the room. Did it nourish me? Did it strengthen me? Is it going to make me healthy? Is it going to help me today? No. We're not doing our devotions just to learn with the head. We're taking it in so it can build us up spiritually. That's what takeaway means. Not take away food, take out food. We're talking about what do we take away from this verse to help me be a better person. So we look at that and we're like, wow, my takeaway is how to treat people who have mistreated you. Because Joseph did the impossible. He returned good for evil. And another takeaway, it doesn't matter how bad the evil is, God's going to turn it to good in his time or bring it to pass. Another takeaway, Joseph needed to go through these trials to make him a good ruler, something he was a bit spoiled, and who wouldn't be when you're the favorite of 12? Our trials are to make us better people. And our trials can be a witness to others. Some just very simple examples on how to do some Bible daily devotions. Again, take a verse, just a basic verse. Pray about God to help you to find the right one. Think about it for a while. Meditate on it. That's what thinking about it after you close your Bible. What did that you mean, Sister Sherry, meant? Oh yeah, that was the brothers. And me was Joseph. And bring it to past minutes. It's going to take a long time. And you think about that all day long. This trial I'm in, it's been going on for 3 days, and that is a really long time. And it is when you're like 15. I don't know, when you're 55, it's a really long time sometimes too. So you think about it, all right? Now, another unique thing that you could do is work songs into your daily devotions. Now, I don't mean necessarily playing them on an instrument, although that's not a bad thing either. But take a song and meditate on it. Did you know, I heard this recently and I thought it was just super encouraging. Did you know a lot of the church doctrine, and that means what we believe, what makes the Church of God what she is in our songs? That is so cool. But unfortunately, when we are Church of God kids, we can sing these songs from memory and not have a clue what we just sang. We've talked about that before. Super easy. Sing a whole entire song and get down and go, what did we just sing? So I thought, wouldn't it be neat if we could take one song and just look at a few verses and see if we can understand it just a little bit better than we have in the past. So in our Evening Light hymnal, and you don't have it, but it's the Church Triumphant. And I'm pretty sure you all know it by heart. So verse 1 says, men speak of a church triumphant. What in the world is that? Well, triumphant means you have victory. But here's something that was really interesting. I Googled church triumphant. I thought, well, what is the definition, the world's definition? Church triumphant, according to dictionary.com, is Christians in heaven who have triumphed over evil. You mean I've got to wait till I get to heaven to triumph over evil? Okay, wait, let's go back to the song. Men speak of a church triumphant as something on earth unknown. Well, yeah, that's what dictionary.com says. Okay. They think us beneath the tyrant. Well, obviously, tyrant is somebody who is cruel and oppressive and is beating you down, like the devil, right? The devil? So they think us beneath the tyrant until we shall reach our home. What's this song talking about? Interesting. Then we go, let's go to verse 2. Talks about confusion, pressed down in fear. Well, that sounds like false religion. Let's go to verse 4. 'Tis not in the church of Jesus that people yet live in sin. Now I know what church triumphant means. People that can live free from sin. Men say it can't happen here on earth. That's false religion. False religion says you can't live free from sin. Sin you will, sin you must, sin you can't help yourself. And then verse 5 says, holiness, all complete. So you take apart this song. This song is saying, thank the Lord. The chorus says, thank God for a church triumphant. All pure in this world below. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to have victory over the devil. We can have victory right now. We do not have to live in sin. Right there, church triumphant. Talks about being free from sin. That is the message of holiness the Church of God preaches. I was so excited when I took that apart. Because I'm a church kid. And me too, guys. I can sing a song and not really completely comprehend what's being sung. This is talking about awesome. We do not have to wait till we get to heaven to be victorious over the devil. Thank God for a church triumphant. I am not going to sing that the same way next time we sing it. I'm just saying. And so in closing, back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 31, when the Ethiopian eunuch speaking to Philip, and he said, How can I understand unless some man should guide me? And he desired Philip would come up and sit with him. And young people, invite spiritual people into your learning. Mom, what does this mean? Brother Steve, here's my scripture. This is so cool. Invite people into that. Talk about it. Maybe in family worship. Say, hey, let's discuss what verse we've read this week. Let's share with each other. Or, Brother Steve, could you help me out with this scripture? Maybe ask one of your youth leaders or your Sunday school teachers to help you understand. Why did Paul tell the women to quit talking in church? Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. And then Acts 8 and 39. When this happens, when we begin to have understanding and God begins to shed understanding and light, we can be like this eunuch. It says he went on his way rejoicing. And sometimes we have to keep working at it. But there's been sometimes I have sat down with my Bible and I begin to cry because it is so exciting when God opens up my understanding. I think about one more I'll share with you if I have a minute. No, I don't, but I will. I was reading about Peter one day. And you know Peter denied Christ. And that's his last encounter with Jesus as Jesus is headed to the cross. And when Jesus comes out of the tomb and he sees those women, what did he say to them? He said, tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter. He knew Peter is ashamed. Peter is so sorry for what he did. He's going to struggle with this. And Peter, I still love you. Make sure Peter knows I have raised from the dead. And I just started crying. I have failed God. I'm sure all of you can say there's been times I have failed God. And yet God is saying, and Sister Sherry, and Brother Alex, and Brother Ben. He wants to make sure that we get the word because he cares that much for us. Hopefully this has challenged you just a little bit. Personal devotions can be very exciting. The devil will make sure they're hard, but it's like mining for gold. When you hit that gold mine, you're going to be super excited. And it's going to strengthen you. It's going to help you. And it won't be just for you. There'll be somebody you'll be encouraged or feel impressed to share it with. And it might be just the thing they need to hear today as well.